Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And Sean, real quick, are the roof, is the roof still on, or the, you know, is everything still okay? There was a little scare down there in the 916 weather-wise.
Well, everything's okay as of 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The National Weather Service gave us a tornado warning here in Northern California. And as a matter of fact, it was going to hit Elk Grove. And so, goodness, so far it has passed and there's no damage or anything like that. But, you know, it keeps you on your toes, Sean, when you have tornado warnings, especially this time of the year.
Any sign of Dorothy, Toto, or maybe the Tin Man?
Not yet, but of course, you know, with Thanksgiving coming up, man, you know, it should be blowing in any time. But, you know, to be honest, man, it was scary, you know, to see that flash on the screen. And, you know, I mean, when something like this happens, they break through your radios and all that stuff and let you know that, you know, danger is near. So it was very serious. People took it seriously. People were pulling over on the side of the roads, calling their loved ones and everything. And so, you know, we know that the National Weather Service is on it. The emergency broadcast system does their job. But everything's okay, man. So we're ready to roll.
Well, glad to hear it and hope everybody else is that you know down there in the 916. Let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number one tonight, all the way back east, North Carolina, Wilson, North Carolina, to be exact, Anthony Atkinson, Ant of Harlem Globetrotter fame. Ant, thanks for your time tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Man, Ant, I'm so excited to have you on here. And of course, you are the showman of the Harlem Globetrotters. Give our listeners, let our listeners know what a showman does.
Well, a showman is, I play the role of, I'm the modern day Meadowlark Lemon, you know, Guy Sides, B. Goose Tatum, all those legendary guys like that, Sweet Lou Dunbar. Me and myself and Highlight Bruton and Nate Big Easy Lofton, we play that role for our teams. And, you know, it's a great honor and tradition to be going on. In our 90th year this year, we celebrate 90 years, been around since the year 1926. And it's just a great honor and a privilege to be a part of a wonderful organization.
Well, congratulations on that, Ant. And, of course, you know, you being the showman, what's the process? You know, how do you get to where you got to as far as being the showman and, you know, actually being a Harlem Globetrotter?
It takes a lot of hard work and dedication. It really does. You have to love what you do. You know, I came in the organization in 2007, and I started out as a dribbler. And, you know, I think it's all about your character and how you interact with the fans. You got to know it's all about timing. You got to know, you know, what the fans are feeling, you know, if they're feeling it at night, what jokes to laugh at, what's current, you know, so to speak. So a lot of things go into it, and you always got to be on the lookout for anything that's going on. That's the one thing that's showing me that a lot of people don't realize. They think we just, you know, have jokes in the backs of our pocket, when a lot of times, you know, it's all improv. We see somebody walking down the stands, and we'll pick out somebody in the stands and pick on them, or, you know, call them on the floor, and, you know, everybody get a kick out of it, you know, just making them feel special. And, you know, just a lot of hard work that goes into it. And it's been a long journey, but, you know, I started being a showman about two years ago, full-time, and I've taken it by the reins, and I just love what I do. I really do.
And what's it been like traveling the world for you and seeing how the fans and especially the kids react to you and your fellow teammates?
It's great. It's great because, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, I'm doing three things that I always want to do my whole life. I'm out here, I'm touching lives on a daily basis, making people smile. I'm playing basketball, which is the game that I love. And, you know, I'm making a living off of it as well. And a fourth thing to add is I'm traveling the world, like you said, you know, all around the world. And it's, it gives you a great feeling on the inside, you know, to be doing that. And, you know, for 2 hours out of the day, people pay their hard-earned money to come see us make them smile. And for those 2 hours, they forget about their problems. They forget about everything in their life. And all they focus on is having a great time with the Harlem Globetrotters. And that's why we've been around for 90 years.
Now, you talk about this 90th year celebration you have coming up. Can you give us any idea what is in store for the fans and why they should come out and see you play here in the 2016 season?
Well, you know, it's a great show. We always have a great show. You know, you can see the high flying dunks, of course, all the Globetrotter antics that you love from past Globetrotters and from present. And, you know, we're just bringing it to you live. You know, it's 90 years. It's a big thing. You know, a lot of organizations are not around for 90 years. And we're doing it. We're doing it big. You know, we have the great assist out now where we're going out. You know, we're having this assisting people and making them smile. We're doing the smile patrol. We're in the hospitals. We're in schools doing the bullying programs and everything like that. And we're doing it big. You know, we were just on with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America. And we had a great time with her up there, you know, making her honorary Globetrotter. You know, I had a chance to go with the Pope, you know, last year when we were in Italy. And we're just bringing it to you, you know, like it's never been brought before. We have a great show plan. So go online at HarlemGlobetrotters.com and get your tickets when we're in a city near you.
Anthony Ant Atkinson joining us here on The Double. Now, Ant, of course, you know, some people are made for the position, made for the job, made for the Harlem Globetrotters. Of course, yourself back in 2007, playing for an NCAA Division II championship, you got the chance to do something remarkable, something that not many people can do. And talk to us about scoring 10 points in 45 seconds, brother. That is amazing. 10 points your team to win at the buzzer.
It was a great feeling. It really was because, you know, we were the underdogs there. We were a small school. And everybody was talking about how, you know, all these big schools were there and they were big in size and we were very small in size. And matter of fact, I think I was like one of the smallest guys there in the tournament. And, you know, we made our way to the national championship game versus Winona State. And they had a streak of like 57 games they had won in a row. And they had beat us the year before in the Elite Eight. And, you know, that still, you know, stuck with us for a while. And the game was going good at first. And then the second half, they kind of took control. And they got up by 7 with like 45 seconds left. And a lot of people, even some of my fans back home, they kind of gave up on the game. They were just like, you know, oh, it's over. You know, Barton made a good run for it, everything like that. But, you know, we've been that way all year where we just kept fighting and something good would always happen. And, you know, when we came out of the huddle, you know, I had a feeling something good was going to happen. And it did. You know, I was able to go out there and have an experience of a lifetime. You know, I was in the zone. I really was. I had 10 points in 45 seconds. I got nominated for an ESPY right after that. And, you know, it was good for my community. You know, it was good for Wilson. It was good for my school. And it's just one of those days, you know, you never forget, one of those moments you never forget.
Well, yeah, that's definitely parlayed into your Harlem Globetrotter experience. And, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters have something that is unique when it comes to making a field goal, and that is the four-pointer. And, of course, you hold the record for that. 12 made four-pointers in one quarter. I mean, that's magnificent, man.
Yeah, that was a crazy game. I remember before the game, I told one of my teammates, I said, you know, I feel like something special is going to happen tonight. You know, I didn't know, and every night as a Globetrotter, you feel that, but I felt like something really special was going to happen that night. And, you know, I came out, and I was on fire, and I finished the game with, like, 93 points, and I had 22 four-pointers total. And, I mean, you know, it's like I tell people, you know, we take pride in our jobs, and we work hard day in, day out. We practice like none other. You know, we're away from our families, you know, 6-7 months out of the year. And it's just something, you know, the way that Harlem Globetrotters, it means something. You know, you have legends like Curly Neal, Metal Lock Lemon, Marcus Haynes, you know, all these guys like that that carry that tradition on now, and they pass the torch to us, and we're just trying our best, you know, to make it as good as it can get so when the fans come, they have a memory that lasts a lifetime.
And who in the Globetrotter family brought you under their wing and guided you to help you get to where you are today?
I would say I actually had a lot of people, like, you know, Nate Big Easy Lofton, Flight Time Lane, you know, my coach is Sweet Lou Dunbar. We had a guy back in the day. He was my coach. His name was our class and player. You know, Barry Hardy, you know, a lot of people, you know, Highlight Bruton and everybody, you know, and I'm kind of one of the guys that I sit on the side and I watch my first year. And I played a little bit, but my job was energy. You know, that's all they said, you know, we need energy. And I would get the crowd involved. I would do whatever I had to do to make sure everybody was having a good time. And when my time came to play, I would play. But looking at guys like that and seeing how they carry themselves with the Globetrotters, you know, it's amazing because now I'm doing the same thing with the younger guys coming up. that they did for me. And I think that's why the Globe Trotters have been around for so long. You know, it's an ongoing thing. And when you come in and you help somebody else, all it does is it helps you, because now you're being a leader and you're also setting the path for somebody to come after you and be a leader after you as well. That's what they did for me, and that's what I'm doing today.
Now, Ann, as a Harlem Globetrotter, what would you tell kids, middle school, high school, maybe even early on in college, that want to be a Harlem Globetrotter? What steps can they take in their basketball game to be able to maybe be a Globetrotter one day?
A lot of hard work. You know, you have to work on your game. A lot of people think, you know, we're all about tricks and we're all about, you know, laughs, and that is a big part of it. But, you know, a lot of us still love to play just the game of basketball, and a lot of us, you know, can really play. And I think you have to, you know, with this Globetrotter thing, you know, people ask me all the time, well, how did you learn the tricks? It's the same thing as learning a jump shot, or the same thing as learning, you know, a dribbling move between the legs or a crossover. I worked on it day in and day out. So, you know, if they want to become Globetrotters, you know, work on it day in and day out. Practice your craft. That's what we do every day. And also, you know, you got to have a little bit of character with you. You got to have great character, and you got to have a clean background. You know, the Globetrotters do a background check, and they don't want anybody, you know, with a messed up background. And, you know, you got to come in, and, you know, you just got to let your character shine out. You know, there's got to be something special about you. And every night, that's what fans say when they come to a game. You know, it's something special about him. It's something special about Ant. Something special about Big Easy, Bull, Highlight, Flight Time. All these girls, and even girls, they come out and they have TNT and Sweet J and people like that. And they look at them and they say, you know, we want to be like them. You have to have that something special, the it factor, I think we call it. You know, you have to have the it factor to be a Globetrotter.
Now, Anth, of course, yeah, you mentioned the passion and you know, just wanting to perfect your craft. You know, being from North Carolina, of course, there's a sharpshooter out here in Northern California that we have taken a liking to, and that is Steph Curry. Have you ever had the chance to actually get around him and pick his brain a little bit?
I haven't actually had the chance to meet him, but I followed him all the way since he was back at when he went to Davidson. You know, I'm a big Carolina fan, and every time they played Carolina, he would give the Tar Heels fit. And, you know, I love to watch him play in the NCAA tournament, and now he actually is my favorite player and my son's favorite player, who is 4 years old right now. And every time Stephen Curry comes on, you know, I let him stay up, you know, past his bedtime. We sit up and watch the game together. But I just love what he brings to the game. I love his attitude. I love his character. You know, I love how he lets his religion show. You know, he really is a godly man, and he's not afraid of it. And I love that about him. And, you know, if I have ever had a chance to really sit down and just, you know, just talk to him about everything, I would love to do that one.
Yeah, definitely a great, great individual to be around, and you can see that he is first-class personified, and such as yourself as well. Of course, you taking your eyes off yourself, there are some things that you do in the community. You have an AAU basketball team or organization, and it's the Anthony Atkinson All-Stars. Tell me about the All-Stars.
With All-Stars, you know, that's how I got my opportunity to play college basketball, with AAU. And a lot of people, you know, have negative things to say about AAU, but if you run it the right way, there's always a positive side to everything. And what we're doing here in Wilson is we have a lot of kids that don't have opportunities to get college scholarships and, you know, to be able to further their education. And they have a, you know, kind of a bad outlook on life. And so what we're trying to do is get them the opportunity through basketball, mentoring them, showing them the right things to do, keeping them off the streets, keeping them out of trouble by, you know, helping them with the game of basketball, taking them around, letting them play in front of college coaches, and giving them a chance to have scholarship opportunities. That's what the Anthony Atkinson All-Stars are all about.
Now, Ant, what does it mean to you, and how does it feel when you finally see in one of your AAU basketball players' eyes that he gets it, the message you're trying to send to that child, not only on the court but off the court in life as well, that they get it and the light bulb comes on?
It's a great feeling, and it's something that, you know, that's why I do it. And, you know, I have a kid now I work with ever since he was 10 years old. His name is Brandon Ingram, and he now plays with Duke University. And, you know, we had him, and he was such a humble kid. And to see him develop and go on to play with Jerry Stackhouse, the AAU team, in his later years, and now he's at Duke University, has a chance to probably go to the NBA within the next couple of years, it means a lot. And now I have other guys that started out with me on Brandon's team as well, going off to colleges, different colleges. And now the kids I'm working with, they're not getting in trouble anymore. Like, I had this kid one time, he was getting in trouble in school. His grades wasn't up to par. And I told him, I said, you can't have basketball without the grades. A lot of kids nowadays think, basketball is just given. Basketball is a privilege. They don't understand if you don't have the grade, you can't do basketball. It goes hand in hand. That's why they call it a student athlete. And this kid, within a month, he had changed his whole mindset. Wrote me when I was on the road, and he said, Coach, I changed my whole life around. I want to be great. And because I had this saying that we go around, and I say, don't be good, be great. And the kids are taking on to it. They're working hard. And this kid texted me when I was on the road, and he said, Coach, I changed my life. I'm not getting in trouble anymore. And so I called the school, not saying I don't believe the kid, but I had somebody watching him anyway because I didn't want him to get in trouble because he has a bright future ahead of him. And, he's making an A on the road now. He's staying out of trouble. He's hanging around the good crowd, and he's changing other people's lives with him as well. And it's just a great feeling on the inside to see kids change their life that way.
That's got to give you a great sense of pride and being able to know that what you're doing is working.
Oh, yeah, man, because, they say it all the time, the kids are the future, and they really are, because I remember when I was that young, they said it about me, and now I have kids of my own, and I'm trying to train them up in the right way as well. So when their time comes, they can help somebody else. That's what life is all about, helping somebody else along the way. So when their time comes, they can make the world a better place as well.
Now, Anthony, one of the things that, has always puzzled me as an athlete and getting a chance to see the Harlem Globetrotters time and time again, I have yet to see you guys in any way, shape, or form miss any shot whatsoever as far as the development is concerned. So what is your mentality like when you're getting ready to take that 4-point shot? I mean, do you ever think that you're going to miss the shot?
I mean, we miss some shots. We do. We're not perfect. We try to be, but we're not. Nobody is. But the thing with us is we practice so hard that when you come to a game, you're like, man, these guys are flawless. And that's how we want it to look. And that's how it is, because we practice so much. And so when you come to a Globetrotter game, you're just kind of like, man, these guys are amazing. And we really are, because you got to think about what we do. Sometimes we play every day of the week. We're on the road 8 months. We travel all around the world. Like I said before, we're away from our family. And, we're just trying to, help ourselves, be better not only on the floor but off the floor as well. So when you come to the game, now you're like, man, these guys are perfect. These guys are awesome. And that's the, that's the excitement we want from the fans. And that's why we go out and work so hard and train so hard every day to do what we do. So when you come to the game, you get that memory.
Now, of course, you've been in the game for around 10 years now, going on 10 years. How long do you see yourself being a Globetrotter?
Say that one more time, sorry.
Now, being a Globetrotter for going on 10 years, how long do you see yourself being a Globetrotter?
No, you could do it forever. Globetrotter, it's hard to tell. I always tell people until my body breaks down, my knees say no. That's how I feel, because it's such a fulfilling job, not only on the physical side, but on, the emotional side as well, because you're connected to the fans. You're going to miss the fans once you walk away. And I think that's the one thing that Curly Neal always talks about. He misses the fans. He always did it for the fans. And that's one thing that drives me every day. When I go out and I perform, I pick a couple of kids out and I, connect with them the entire show. And, to see the smiles on their faces after the game, that gives you that feeling like, man, I could do this forever. So it's always hard to say how long you can do it, but I always say until my knees say no.
Now, Ant, you've mentioned a few times that it is life on the road and you're away from your family a lot, and you do have a wife and kids. So how do you stay connected with them and make that road life function at home as well?
Technology is a wonderful thing. I mean, having the iPad and the iPhone and being able to FaceTime and, see them at different times during the day is very important. I try to always see my kids and my wife before I go out and I play a game, because that's who I do it for. Besides the fans, that's who I do it for. And they're my motivation. And, it's tough. It gets tough at times, so you get lonely, but we're able to fly them out. Their family can come out, when we stay in a place for several days, come out and enjoy. And it's good for my son to come out and see what I do and see the impact that we as Globetrotters have on other people's lives, because when he comes back home, that's all he talks about. Like, I was at his baseball game the other night, and he was like, my dad's here. And it was like a good feeling to have somebody come to me and say that, because he knew, even though his dad has a busy schedule, I also had time to come home and support him at his little fall baseball game. And that meant a lot.
As a Globetrotter, who is the most, the person you've been able to meet being a Globetrotter that you have, is just number one on your list? I've been, you know, you've mentioned the Pope. There's been a lot of other famous people as well.
Right. I would say, honestly, it was Robin Roberts. Her spirit was amazing. I mean, you know, the Pope is up there, but to meet someone as genuine as Robin Roberts and to see everything that she's been through and she still smiles, and it exudes off on everybody else. I mean, we were there and she just made us feel like we were so at home and everything like that. And, you know, she's a big time person in the world, but for her to, you know, have gone through all that stuff and to see her and see how genuine she was towards us, that she was probably, you know, number one.
Anthony Ant Atkinson of Harlem Globetrotter fame, thank you so much for your time tonight. Best of luck in your 90th celebration tour with the Harlem Globetrotters. Get your tickets at harlemglobetrotters.com. Ant, thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks a lot, Ant.
Thank you.
There goes Ant Atkinson, Wilson, North Carolina. Just an amazing athlete and ambassador for basketball all over the world with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Man, he'd mentioned getting the chance to meet Robin Roberts. I mean, just a great person altogether, and everything that she's overcoming cancer and being the spokesperson for that. And, of course, the Pope. You know, we forgot, though, Sean. We forgot one person to ask him about, and that was actually staring down Donald Trump on the Celebrity Apprentice, man. That's got to be right up there as well. Of course, with Donald Trump being a presidential fame now. But, man, what a great story to tell, you know, that Ant, you know, I mean, you know, like you're saying, coming from Wilson, North Carolina, and doing some awesome things and getting the chance to meet so, so many people.
Yeah, you'll see the Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, they're all over television. They're on, you know, sitcoms, comedies on Disney Channel for kids shows. They've done, of course, he mentioned Nate Big Easy Lofton and Fly Time Lang. They have been on Amazing Race multiple times. So you can just be flipping the channel and, heck, there's a couple of Globetrotters and who knows what they'll be doing.
You know, perfection is something that, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters are known for. And, you know, it's just amazing. Everything, every detail that is put into what they do, you know, a lot of people can, you know, say that it's fake or it's not real. Man, it is so real that it's incredible, man. And so, you know, great to have Ant on the show and wishing him the best of luck in his stint with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, Sean, you know, our first Globetrotter is a former player and an ambassador, and that was a guy you know down in the 916, one Sterling Forbes, and now to have a current Globetrotter and showman at that, Ant Atkinson. So nice to have some Globetrotters here on the double.
Yeah, some cool stuff. And so we look forward to having some more because, you know, of your connection with the Harlem Globetrotters. We look to have some more guests on here, Sean Wally. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to have guest number two, and we're talking Major League Baseball, and that is with Darryl Brown, scout for the Toronto Blue Jays. So keep it locked in. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
I'm going to hop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a comer. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two, another person that survived the possible tornado in the 916 area. And that is Major League Baseball scout Daryl Brown. Daryl, thanks for your time tonight.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, D, man. Of course, it is exciting. This is an exciting time for you because, you know, the season is over. Of course, the champion has been crowned, and congratulations to the Kansas City Royals. But for you being a scout, you know, does that process start now, or has it already started for, you know, trying to get players into the majors?
Well, for me, and where I'm at on the amateur side, it actually, the process started for me back right after the draft was over with, back in June. You know, we already get going to try and find talent for the 2016 draft, Major League Baseball draft. But, you know, we do get an opportunity to kind of slow down a little bit and watch our big league team, you know, during the playoffs and the ALCS. And that was just a joy to be a part of.
Now, you know, is there ever a point to where, you know, you feel like, man, maybe I made the wrong choice or an error in calling up a kid or offering them, you know, an opportunity to play?
Well, as far as calling them up, that, I mean, that's beyond and above what I'm doing. My job is at the ground level where I'm gathering information and I'm getting familiar with a lot of the young prospects. Like I said, the amateur where you're either, you know, in high school or you're a junior college or four-year college player. But I don't ever think, you know, I don't ever feel that I've made a mistake or I was reluctant or I should have done this or I should have done that. At the end of the day, my job is to sign the best player available or possible that's going to be a good fit with our organization, that's going to help us win, whether it's at the big league level or possibly be a piece for our guys in the upper management to make trades.
And Daryl, what is a ballpark figure? I'm sure it varies by player, but any idea how many hours you spend scouting, watching video, and actually seeing guys play before you decide whether or not you want to pursue this athlete as a possible player for your organization?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the shortest window I could possibly, you know, say is roughly about 2 years. I mean, because you know, we go out there and we get an idea, and we're a lot of times we're actually going out to see one player, And then somebody else, you say, oh, man, this guy's an underclassman. And then you kind of follow him, and the next thing you know, you've been following him for 2 years, and you've gotten to know his family, you got to know the player. And then the most extreme case is a kid that that grew up right here in Elk Grove that, you know, that the Blue Jays, we had an opportunity to sign him, and he's in our system, and I've known him since he was 11 years old.
And, Darryl, what is that like when you actually get to a high school player, or maybe they're in junior college or a four-year school, and you make that offer to them, and they see that their dreams are that much closer to coming true?
No, I mean, it's an exciting time for the player. It's an exciting time for the scout, because a lot can happen from June to June. You know, we can go out there and drive thousands and thousands of miles. We can go out there and spend many nights in hotels away from families. And there's sometimes where we did everything we could, and we don't have anything to show for it but, you know, Marriott points and Southwest airline points. But there's also times where, you know, we're sitting and we're negotiating, and we're able to go back and forth. And then once that we get that handshake, you know, and they say, hey, I'm ready to start my professional career. I mean, it's an exciting time for everyone. And then the process starts, where you just watch the player grow, and you watch him, and you watch him become, go from a boy to a young man. And it's a special time.
Darryl Brown, Major League Baseball scout, joining us here on the Double. Now, D, one of the things that our listeners probably don't know, of course, you played for the Braves. You played about 3 years with them and 3 years with the Cubs. Kind of give us an idea on the evolution of baseball from the time that you played to now, you know, as far as what it takes to be a great ball player.
Well, I mean, the ingredients haven't changed. I mean, you have to have ability. You have to have work ethic. You got to have some toughness about you. And sometimes you got to learn how to be on your own and be by yourself, because when you're playing at the lower levels and you're in, you know, Virginia or Idaho or, you know, who knows where you're going to be, I mean, you just have to understand that this is all for a simple purpose, and that's to be a Major League Baseball player and to create a lifestyle for your family. But as far as, you know, the ballparks now, from the time, you know, I played, what, 20 years ago, and the ballparks are much more advanced. They're much more plush. You go to a A-ball stadium, and I mean, I would assume that some of these kids they're not afraid to repeat a level because the ballpark's so nice. I've played in some places where, you know, you're saying, man, I can't wait to get out of here, and that was a lot more. You know, that was our motivation to have a good season, so we didn't have to return.
Well, you know, there are some Major League Baseball stadiums that are still like that. We won't say anything, but that one might be in the East Bay. But, you know, hopefully we get a stadium out here in Oakland, you know, because these guys definitely deserve it.
Oh, absolutely. And Oakland's always been a hotbed. I mean, from, you know, Veda Pinson to Frank Robinson to Billy Martin to, you know, Dave Stewart. I mean, it's been Ricky Henderson. I mean, we can go on and on about the Bay Area baseball, but it definitely deserves, the fans definitely deserve a new stadium and, you know, a little bit of an upgrade.
Now, Darryl, you talked about one of the things as far as becoming a Major League Baseball player. There's the balance of, you know, playing the sport, and then some of these guys that have families. You know, it has to be tough as an athlete. Of course, you know, with yourself, you know, you're on the road a little bit, and, you know, you miss home. How do you balance those two, and does it ever become a huge problem?
No, you know what? It doesn't become a problem more so than it just, like, as a player, I was always single. I didn't get married and get involved until I was done playing the game on the field. But as a scout, and being with my family and being on the road, it was difficult at the time. You know, my son was only two. My youngest son was only two, and he, you know, would call and cry and ask when I'm coming home. And now he's 10, and he lives in my suitcase, and he goes everywhere I go now. So, you know, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, I guess, when, you know, you just have to deal with it for a couple years. And, you know, it's hard on the spouse. I mean, I remember when my first year, you know, Lisa looked at me and kind of said, hey, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, you're gone half of the year. And I mean, if you're giving me if you're giving me a choice, you knew I was in baseball from the beginning. So I'll just make sure you have health insurance. No, I'm just playing. but no, she understood and she actually worked with me, and we worked together on this. Now, she totally understands and she accepts everything that goes on because it has its perks. You know what I mean?
How much has technology helped in the last few years to keep you in contact while on the road?
Oh, man, it's been lovely. I mean, you know, anything from FaceTime to, our phones and texts. I remember, you know, being a player, you had to go to the local market and go get a calling card just so that you didn't have to, you know, spend so much money. And then I felt for the Latin players I played with, because shoot, man, those calling cards to Venezuela and Dominican Republic, I'm sure they were a lot more expensive than me calling from Florida to California.
Now, Daryl, as you experienced in your playing days, how do you relate that to players, what you learned about life on the road, the travel between minor league cities, that really it's great to be playing professional baseball, but there's not always the glitz and glamour?
Absolutely. You know, I tell you this. I mean, I would never, ever exchange in what I've done in my lifetime. I mean, I had a lot of learning experience. I had a lot of life lessons. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I didn't realize when I was a young kid coming out of Oakland that once I stopped playing baseball, that I had an opportunity to be a scout. I was totally oblivious, didn't know, and I was educated about it. And that's what I try and explain to some of these kids, is that, hey, man, you got you have some ability. You're a smart kid. You know, we're going to, you know, go to school. And if you get an opportunity to play professional baseball in the minor leagues, if you don't get to the big leagues, there's still an opportunity to scout or player development. Or, you know, there's always something for someone to do in this game. And, that's truly the biggest experience that I learned from being a player to what I'm doing now well into my adult life.
Daryl Brown joining us here on the double. And Daryl, I gotta be honest with you. Every time I make the trip to the Bay, whether it's, working for CBS, Fox or whatever, and I drive through, you know, Vallejo and get to Richmond, you know, without fail, I always think about you, man. I'm like, man, this is where D Brown, this is where it all starts. And, you know, you're mentioning, you know, that process. And so, you know, it is. It's great to have somebody like you in my life, you know, that understands the struggle, understands, you know, what it takes to make it to that level. And of course, I'm sure that the players are grateful as well when you actually, you know, scout them out.
No, and I believe so, you know, and I think that, you know, I could have easily been a statistic, you know, and I could have easily been that story. But I'm so blessed that I'm a positive story to come out of the Bay Area. And even when I talk to young players today, you know, it's really about who you got to keep positive people around you. You got to keep working hard. You got to think outside the box. That's one thing that I learned growing up in the Bay Area. You know, it wasn't always, you had to think outside of the box in order to have some success. And I still do that in my scouting practices, and I still do that in my parenting practices. And it's, you know, knock on wood, it's working so far.
Now, D, one of the other things is that, you know, your community help, the things that you do. And, you know, last time you and I got together a while ago, there was a big fundraiser that was going on. I believe Greg Vaughn had a golf, it was like some type of a golf fundraiser, and, you know, for one of your organizations, for the youth groups. Are you still doing those types of things? Are you still have like camps and and fundraisers going on and developing the youth in the local area?
Actually, I am. I'm actually still involved, and I have a couple other buddies that are out of the Bay Area and even here in Sacramento. So we're trying to do everything we can to be relevant in the inner city and trying to get these young athletes to see us and to say, hey, you know what, there's guys that look like me that play this game of baseball, because right now it's become such a country club sport in the travel ball world. But yeah, we do a bunch of things. You know, we do we have teams, we have young teams, we get out there and we do personal instruction with some of the kids. We kind of get groups of kids together from here down to, you know, Richmond, Berkeley, Oakland, from Sacramento down to the East Bay, and we just try and be relevant. Like I said, I mean, I'm slowing down just a little bit, and every chance I get, I try and show my face somewhere, whether it's a football game or basketball game, and I just try and keep baseball relevant, because people say, oh, you know what? That's the Blue Jay scout over there. What is he doing here? Well, I'm here looking at a point guard that may not be able to be a point guard in college, but he could be a pretty good center fielder. You know, I'm always scouting.
Gerald, what does it mean to you to give back to the community and be out there and show your face and show these young athletes that, hey, you are a regular person, and as you're saying, you're a lot like them, and they can do it too?
Oh, man, it means everything to me, just because some of the tragedy and circumstances that I dealt with growing up as a young man, as a little boy, now it's kind of coming full circle. And you know, you just never know what a player or a young athlete or a young student athlete's going through. And I remember, you know, I remember a gentleman by the name of Mr. James Morehouse who passed away. I remember he just looked at me one day when I walked into the high school halls, and he pulled me aside. He says, "Hey, man, whatever you're going through, I'm here to help you." And I was dealing with my mother's loss. And after that, I mean, I just flourished, just because I believed that people cared about me, you know. And not saying that, you know, but my dad was always there for me when his military background was, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot of comforting from with the military background. It was either, hey man, let's get it done, you know. But when you believe that people are there to help you and to teach you and to support you, I mean, there's no telling what you can do in life. And I'm still steadily, you know, working to keep moving forward and just so that I can be that positive story as long as I'm around for these young kids.
And Daryl, who have been people that have supported you throughout your entire career?
Wow. You know, I mean, there's a long list, but right. I mean, my dad was my biggest supporter. And, you know, even as a young kid, I mean, we bumped heads a lot, but my dad was one. Like I said, Mr. James Morehouse was one. My high school baseball coach, Dennis Abel, we still stay in contact. I believe we talked the other day for about 2 weeks ago for about 2.5 hours, just reminiscing and how he was, you know, always kept his good eye on me and make sure I was walking a straight line. And, you know, Sandy Alomar Sr. has been very big to me. Obviously his son Roberto and his other son Sandy Sr. But he's always been like a father away from home, always giving me words of advice. The late, you know, Pop Stargell. I mean, we can go on, and it's just so happy. Pop Stargell used to always say, hey, good people, their paths always cross. And we've always, it's always, you know, you run into some of the good people in this game and in life, and we've always kept in continuous contact. And, you know, I've gotten an opportunity to really get to know Mr. Dusty Baker, and, you know, he's just been a huge, huge, because his son actually plays for my scout team in the fall, and I've gotten an opportunity to get to know Dusty and his wife Melissa, and they've just been huge, huge supporters of what we're doing around here.
Now, Gerald, one of the things that, you know, I'm gathering is that you do an excellent job of paying it forward, and what I mean by that is there was a time a couple of years ago where you came to me, you know, on a couple of occasions, and you said, "Hey, what is Devon doing? Where is he playing right now?" And, you know, I want to watch him. I want to see him play. And, you know, there was a game where you came and watched Devon play. And, you know, after the game, you know, Denise and I were talking about, hey, did you see so-and-so? Did you see so-and-so? And Devon said, hey, I saw Uncle D in the stands. And that was good to see him, man. And you know, we appreciate that. And that's what makes us family. And, you know, those are the things that these guys remember. And that's what I'm talking about as far as paying it forward. And man, we do. The Boyd family, we appreciate everything that you do.
No, and I definitely appreciate it. And you know what? It all started, like I said, I mean, the great Willie McGee used to come home in our off season, and he had a weight, you know, a cage and weights in his mom's backyard, and he used to say, "Hey, I'm gonna leave the door unlocked for you, so just make sure you guys lock up, man. Take care of my mom. Make sure you guys lock up." And I mean, that's how I was taught, and I'm just trying to teach this generation, and it's tough because this generation is different, and I'm just trying to say, "Hey, man, love conquers everything." And as long as you can keep giving back, you know, good things are going to happen. And like I said, all I'm doing is doing what I've been taught. And that's just to always give back and try and do anything I can to help someone, and, you know, and not always in need, just in general. Sometimes, you know, it's not what people tell you sometimes. It's how they make you feel. And I truly believe that. I mean, there's been times where I've met certain people, and it's not what they say. It's just how you make them feel that you remember them for a long time.
And you've mentioned some great people who have mentored you. You mentioned Pop Stargell, of course, and Dusty Baker, and you know, and Dad. I mean, you know, so the strong upbringing is definitely a testament to what you do. And you and Lisa do some awesome things. And you know, I miss being around it, man. And of course, we'll definitely get together and rekindle that, because you know, those are fun times for us. Those are fun times for, you know, for my family. And so, you know, hey, hats off to you, man. And I appreciate everything that you do.
Absolutely. And before we got on the phone, I just ate a bowl of her jambalaya that she made. So I know you missed that.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do. See, now, you know, and on a day like this, man, you know, overcast, a little cool. Oh, that'd be perfect. Perfect, man. Tell Lisa, hey, we're coming over soon.
Will do.
Man, you guys are making me hungry all the way up here in Washington State, I tell you. Darryl, you are as close as Sean and I get on the show to Major League Baseball. A couple of names I'll throw at you. I'm just curious if you have had run-ins, experience with these guys in your playing days or now in your scouting career. And if you want to plead the fifth, please feel free to do so. There is a new regime up here in the Pacific Northwest, Jerry DePoto as GM and Scott Service as manager. Have you dealt with either of those two in your career?
You know, Scott Service was actually, when I was in the minor leagues, I was in Double A, and Scott Service was the catcher at the time. And I had a couple buddies, and even when, you know, we would come into camp, you know, he would you know, just come across. I mean, I never really had too many personal dealings with him, but he always seemed like, I mean, he was the general. I mean, when you seen him catch and you seen him call a game and you seen him around the weight room and the clubhouse and how he interacted with guys, there wasn't anybody that disliked Scott, you know what I mean, from what I remember. And like I said, I mean, I think, you know, I wish I would have had more interaction or more dealings with him, because I definitely could have learned a ton from Scott. I actually worked for Jerry DePoto or worked with Jerry DePoto in the Arizona Diamondbacks organization. And it was a brief 3 years, extremely intelligent and smart baseball man. He definitely knows the game inside and out. And he's a worker, he's a workhorse. And I'm telling you, man, he's a competitor, because he wants to win. He wants to bring a championship. Definitely to Seattle. But I will give you, you know, I'll give you one more name, Tom Allison. Tom Allison hired me and gave me my first job over with Arizona. And I'm extremely proud to say that he's a friend of mine, and he's definitely kind of, you know, when I started scouting and I had questions, I definitely reached out to Tom, and he definitely just kind of walked me through. And you know, I had a situation where, you know, I was trying to figure out, you know, how do I go about signing this kid, and how, you know, and he gave me words of wisdom. So I definitely owe a ton to Tom Allison, and I, you know, I think they're going to do wonderful things for you guys up there in the Pacific Northwest. I really do. It's a good group of guys, and but you guys are in good hands, I can tell you that.
That's awesome to hear for Mariner fans. And generically speaking, what is realistic when a new regime comes in, when the front office changes? How long should it take for a team to be competitive?
Well, there's different strokes for different folks. And right now you guys have a lot of pieces. The Mariners have a lot of pieces in place. It shouldn't take long. You know, just getting, you know, the manager in there and getting a cohesive unit. I mean, right now there's a lot of talent and a lot of ability in that clubhouse. And you got the right people steering the ship. So you guys are going to, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about the Mariners either, you know, this year or no longer than next year, as far as competing for a pennant. I really do. I mean, I think it's going to be now. I hope it's the Mariners and the Blue Jays in the ALCS, and we have to compete for the World Series. But I can tell you, it shouldn't take long at all.
I like it. Let's do it. Mariners, Blue Jays. Let's go.
I knew you would say that, man. Something told me that you would say that. I'm going to pull for my Oakland A's still, so that's just how we do it. Hey, Daryl, thanks for being on, man. Daryl Brown, Major League Baseball scout with the Toronto Blue Jays. Man, excellent, excellent year for you guys this year, and looking forward to some great things in the future.
No, and thank you for having me. I always enjoy, you know, talking shop and talking baseball, and definitely I'm excited for us, for the Toronto Blue Jays to come back and finish, you know, where we left off in 2015. Definitely.
Well, yeah, definitely. And the best of luck to you on that. And man, hey, tell Lisa, hey, make another batch because we're coming over.
Will do.
Thanks for your time, Daryl.
All right, thank you. Take care, guys.
All right. There goes Daryl Brown, Major League Baseball scout for the Toronto Blue Jays. Hey, Sean, it doesn't get any better than this.
No, it was great. Daryl's got so much insight from his playing days and now his current job as scout, and he's awesome to share all that he knows. Keep it locked here on The Double. When we come back, we'll talk some NFL. The Raiders were in action yesterday, and a big Sunday night game coming up this Sunday in Seattle. We'll be back. This is on The Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret. A new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd with Sean Wally battling the storm. Man, no tornadoes here in Elk Grove. And, of course, great weather up in the Pacific Northwest. But, Sean Wally, there was a big, big NFL weekend this past weekend. And, of course, there's a current game going on. But, man, tough nail-biting game in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field for the Oakland Raiders.
Man, I was hoping they could squeeze that catch-up packet, and man, they were so close. It's frustrating for me. I know it's got to be 10 times frustrating for you in the Raider Nation.
Gosh, man, when you sent me the text and you're like, hey, man, I've got the Raiders as my defense, I was like, gulp. You know, I'm like, oh, my goodness. When it's all on the line, you know, and they did good offensively, but defensively, my word, what in the world was going on? I mean, Antonio Brown just went crazy on the secondary of Oakland. Of course, Oakland was, you know, touting a tough defense coming in and doing a great job against Chris Ivory and the New York Jets and shutting down Geno Smith and, you know, and all those things. And we talked about how well they played against the Denver Broncos. And then all of a sudden they go out to Heinz Field and it just seemed like it was flag football. And, you know, they still had the chance. They still had a chance to win this game.
Yeah, it was great to see them in it till the very final second. And yeah, as you're mentioning, Antonio Brown went roughshod all over the field. Nobody could stop him on that Raiders D. And they were talking about on the broadcast how the Raiders play single coverage man-to-man. Why not adjust that? Why not make changes and double team or move to a zone or both, for that matter, do whatever it takes to put a stopgap in that leak in the dam?
Well, yeah, to give you an idea on what was going on with Antonio Brown, it didn't matter who the quarterback was. Obviously, I know when Michael Vick had the chance to start when Ben Roethlisberger went down with his first injury, it seemed like Antonio Brown was on an island all by himself, and he wasn't targeted at all. But this game alone yesterday against the Raiders, targeted 23 times, Sean Wally. 23 times. He got 17 catches, 284 yards. I mean, that put him in the top 10 all-time single game, you know, for yardage. And, you know, that's just, I don't know what was going on. You know, I know that Charles Woodson had no words for it. It was wow to him. And you know, DJ Hayden, my goodness. I mean, you know, as much progression as he's made, it just looked like, you know, he took a step back. And, you know, yet again, you know, the Oakland Raiders offense put them in a situation to where, you know, they were in the game and they could have won it. All they had to do was make one stop.
And unfortunately for the Raider Nation, that did not happen. You still get the loss, but there are positives. You went to the East Coast. You battled the Steelers till the very end. You had leads at times, and your offense looked good at times to score 21 in the first three quarters. And then when it looked bleak, they came back in the fourth.
Hats off to Derek Carr, no doubt about it. In the last three games, 11 touchdowns and one interception. Think about that. 11 TDs, one interception over the past three games. And he had three touchdowns in the first game, four touchdowns last game, four touchdowns yesterday. This guy's on fire. He's a definite up-and-coming quarterback that, you know, with a few more years under his belt, if he continues to do what he's doing, then I think that you put him into that upper echelon as far as quarterbacks are concerned. He's dangerous, man. And, you know, Michael Crabtree has rejuvenated his career in Oakland. Seven, uh, 7 catches for 108 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Amari Cooper's being Amari Cooper, you know, being the leading rookie in receiving in the NFL. And so, you know, there are some good things happening. I'm just hoping that defensively things can catch up. All is not lost. They're sitting at 4-4, which, you know, we can talk about.
An awesome record. That's an awesome record. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. We can talk about, you know, the Seattle Seahawks and the Oakland Raiders. If you'd have told me that the Oakland Raiders would be 4-4 halfway at the halfway point at the beginning of the season, I would have taken that hands down. But unlike Seattle, 4-4 right now, you know, it's like, gosh, we're better than that. And so, you know, they're two different teams, two different scenarios. But yeah, Sean, I will take 4-4 right now.
Well, you mentioned me taking the Oakland Raiders defense in fantasy. Well, my issues were Seattle was on bye at the same time Kansas City is on bye this week. So I needed something. And based on how your Raider defense played last week, figured, you know, Ken Norton Jr. and Malcolm Smith and Charles Woodson and the crew would get it together in Pittsburgh. But unfortunately, they got me -8 on one scoring system. But hey.
Yeah.
Not a lot you can do when that happens.
Man, yeah, talking about Ken Norton Jr., how is he feeling right now? I mean, would you like to go into practice, tomorrow's practice, knowing that, you know, you have to face Ken Norton Jr. and try to answer to some of the just the boneheaded plays that, or lack thereof, as far as your play on Sunday? I mean, I would. So it's going to be interesting for these guys.
Here's the big question I've heard asked today, and I'll ask it to you. Why didn't they say, ole, part the Red Sea, let the Steelers score with 30 seconds left, therefore you actually have a shot to do a few Hail Marys, hook and ladder, Statue of Liberty, something, versus letting the clock run all the way down, having the Steelers kick a field goal, and virtually that was it?
You know, that I think pride takes over. And, I mean, think about it. It's Ken Norton Jr. Would he do that? I mean, is that something that, you know, you teach your players is to do a lay down and then, you know, let's hope for the best. Even if that scenario is the best scenario. You know, I just don't think that football players or coaches are, you know, bred like that. I think that they feel, hey, if we put our hand in the dirt and we play hard enough, we can maybe jar the football loose or possibly, you know, get an interception or whatever. And so, you know, it's tough to make that kind of a call. And I do get what you're saying because, you know, I was thinking the same thing, but you know, these guys aren't made that way. They're not paid millions of dollars to just lay down and let people score. So, you know, it was tough. You know, those guys, one of the things I would say, Sean, is that when we tied the football game with a little over a minute left, did anybody think that Pittsburgh was just going to drive down the field like that in two plays? That's the question that I have, is what the heck happened to the defense to where you allow Antonio Brown to, you know, scoot up the field for 50 yards and put them in the field goal range and let D'Angelo Williams do the rest? That is sad, horrible defense.
Well, you've got a home game coming up on Sunday, the 15th. The Raiders hosting the Minnesota Vikings, who have a very nice record at 6-2, possible 6-2 heading into Oakland. A bit of a surprise in Minnesota, but hey, do the NFC a favor there, Raiders, and knock off the Minnesota Vikings for us, will you?
Well, you know, they had a tough contest against the St. Louis Rams, and of course, they squeaked that one out. And I know that, you know, the St. Louis Rams squeaked that one out, which was good. And so, you know, they're coming into Oakland. Teddy Bridgewater, did you see the hit that happened to Teddy Bridgewater?
Absolutely. And it wasn't the hit that was the issue. It was the head bouncing off the turf.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, he had a concussion, and he was out cold for, man, it seemed like some 10 minutes, you know, and you never like to see anything like that. But do you know that he went through testing today, and they cleared him to play this weekend against Oakland? So, That is a head scratcher, to say the least.
Very interesting that in a matter of a handful of hours, the smelling salts work and he's good to go, which, I mean, great for Vikings fans, but if he gets one more hit, maybe that'll be the wrong hit for him and don't want to have anybody get injured, but goodness.
He was out cold, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, how in the world could you clear somebody within 24 hours? Now, the same thing happened to Latavius Murray yesterday, and he had 96 yards on 20 carries, and, you know, the Raiders haven't cleared him yet. And so, you know, both of those guys were, you know, took vicious hits. And, you know, the NFL is saying that they're doing a better job, and they are doing a better job as far as trying to prevent these guys from getting back into the games. But this is just amazing to me that he was cleared so fast to play, meaning Teddy Bridgewater.
The Vikings at 6-2, sharing the lead in the NFC North with the Packers, who have suddenly come back down to earth, losing two in a row. They're also 6-2.
Now, who would have saw this? I know that, you know, a lot of Seattle fans were thinking, you know, when Carolina went up to Seattle and Carolina pulled that one out, they're like, you know, you got to win one. Everybody gets lucky from time to time. But this Carolina Panthers team is for real. Cam Newton is phenomenal. Just watching him play, I'm just like, wow, this kid is going to be something special. And as you're mentioning, you know, they're at home and, you know, they knocked around the Green Bay Packers. And what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? That's probably going to be the question that everybody's going to ask. Losers of two in a row. And so, you know, the Green Bay Packers have to figure out something here to get themselves going again, because, you know, if they don't do something soon, you know, some of these other teams are going to start catching up.
And that's the thing, especially with the NFC. There's not, and I include the 8-0 Panthers in this, there's not one team I look at and I'm completely afraid of.
You know, and that's, you know, that's good when, you know, when you say that, because we talk about the parity of the NFL. But 8-0 is 8-0, and, you know, there are a couple of teams left, and Carolina's put themselves in a really good position. One of the things that, you know, people have been talking about as far as Seattle is concerned, since, you know, we have that strong tie with the Seattle Seahawks, is that Seattle's only great when they have the home field. If any of these teams catch home field before Seattle, then it's going to be an uphill battle. And so that's huge. That's huge for a Carolina Panther team to get out to this start. That's huge for a Green Bay Packer team to turn things around so that, you know, they can, you know, keep a Seattle from getting home field.
Well, I don't think Seattle's home field advantage is as important in 2015 as it was in 2013 and even 2014, because the key players, the all pros, the guys that have signed the big contracts, they've been there. They've done that. They're not these young guys that need that 12th man, although it's a big advantage and they would much rather be at home, sleeping in their own beds, having their normal routine. But the mentality is different now, as the majority of those younger guys 2-3 years ago are now the leaders, the veterans, the captains on the team. Yes, it would be great if somehow Carolina falters 4 or 5 games in the final eight, and or gets knocked out of the playoffs before Seattle, and Seattle could get all the games at home. Of course, any team would prefer that over going out on the road. But the makeup of the Seahawks now, I don't think they care. I mean, if they have to go to Saudi Arabia and play the Panthers, the Packers, the Vikings, whoever it may be, let's strap them up and let's go. Because, as I just mentioned, there's nobody in the NFC that is scary and you look at it and say, oh my gosh, we have no shot. I think the parity is alive and real in the NFL. And yes, Carolina's in a great position and they may very well have home field advantage. If they win throughout, good for them. That's what they played those 16 games and so far won 8 of them. But Seattle has also gone to Carolina the last few years and beaten the Panthers. So it's not like they can't do that if that is what is on their path in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and I do hear what you're saying, but, you know, Seattle's record over the past few years has proven that their road woes, they're an average team on the road. you can't take anything away from the 12s. When you're a visiting team and you're going up and playing in Seattle at the Clank against the 12s as well, that's a huge advantage. And so, you know, I do understand what you're saying, but their record proves otherwise as far as, you know, what they can do. Seattle becomes not this superb, great team. They become a very good team on the road, and that's huge when you need that for the advantage. So we'll get a chance to see what that looks like, you know, if Seattle winds up getting into the postseason, which it looks like they will.
Well, I mean, that's a long way from being set in stone for any team. And, I mean, talking about Seattle on the road, they've won two in a row away from Seattle, being in Dallas and in Santa Clara, as you know firsthand. So are they as good on the road? No. I don't know many teams that are as good as they are in their own home, in their own home stadium, in front of their fans, whether it be the Raider Nation, the 12th man, the Cheeseheads, whoever it may be. But, you know, Seattle's got a big test Sunday night, football night in America on NBC. The division-leading Arizona Cardinals at 6-2 come into CenturyLink Field to take on the Seahawks. It should be a great game.
Yeah, both teams coming off the bye, and you know, it'll give us a chance to see what these teams look like with 2 weeks of preparation. And so, you know, I know that, you know, Arizona all has something to prove as far as them being the AFC West or NFC West leaders right now. And of course, Seattle wants to, you know, it gives them the chance. This 2 weeks gives them the chance to put some new wrinkles into their offense and into their, you know, into their preparation. And it should be fun. It should be a fun test for Arizona. It should be a great game for Seattle, you know, having the home field, you know, backing them up. And of course, as you said, it's a Sunday night game. So, you know, that's always a recipe for, you know, for good fun for that night.
And the country will be watching, and Arizona wants to make a statement and prove that the NFC West is theirs. And it really is a huge game for the division, because Seattle loses, they fall three back plus the tiebreaker to Arizona. So that pretty much almost eliminates the Seahawks for the division title, unless Arizona completely collapses. Granted, Seattle would have a second game down in Arizona with the Cardinals, but man, down three, that's a tough hill to climb with just seven to play after this Sunday. But hey, Seattle wins, that brings the gap between the Cardinals and the Seahawks down to just one game, with seven left, including one more against those two teams battling it out down in Arizona late December.
Yeah, you know, and the biggest key is that it is a head-to-head matchup. Now, if Seattle goes down three this time, unlike last year, they hadn't played Arizona yet. And, of course, by the time they played Arizona, Carson Palmer was out, and the rest was history. The Seattle won 10 of 11. If they lose this game this Sunday, that scenario is still in play. Seattle could still run the table and win 10 of 11. But the loss head-to-head would be the key, and you're exactly right. And that would put Arizona in a much better position.
This is as close to a must-win game as the Seahawks have had in a long time without actually calling it a must-win, because the season wouldn't be over by any means, but it would be a lot brighter future if they can come up with a victory Sunday night in Seattle.
Yeah, so, you know, Sunday night football, NBC, should be a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm curious to see how Seattle looks, and they get a chance to lick their wounds a little bit. Some of these guys are coming off of injuries, not big injuries, but, you know, giving themselves a chance to get back to 100%. And so we'll get a chance to see the real Seattle Seahawks on Sunday.
And in talk of injury, Ricardo Lockett, that took that vicious, vicious hit in Dallas, had surgery on ligaments in his neck. He has returned to the Pacific Northwest, flew home with a neck brace on, and seems to be doing as well as can be expected.
Yeah, wishing Ricardo a speedy recovery. And of course, you know, thank goodness that, you know, he will be able to have a 100% recovery. Man, this league is a tough league to play in. And, you know, we realize that week in and week out when we see these guys going down, and whether it's concussions or, you know, MCLs, ACLs, you name it. You know, it's a it's a tough league. And so, you know, just hats off to Ricardo and wishing him the best.
So, Sean, has the NFHS Network came a-calling yet? Do you have any assignments for either play-by-play or analyst duties at NFHSnetwork.com there in the San Joaquin section of the CIF?
So the regular season is coming to an end, and, you know, the playoffs are going to be starting here soon, and we'll be taking on the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals in all divisions. And I will be receiving my assignment here, I believe, in the next week. So I'm excited about it, you know, getting a chance to call football once again, and you know, the NFHS Network, you know, doing what we do best, man, and that's call, you know, high school football. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
So, speaking of high school football, the Sheldon Huskies, are they still alive and in the playoffs, or has one Deshaun Boyd played his last high school football game?
Oh gosh, we're going to have to say the latter. You know, he's played his last high school football game. Things just did not turn out the way that he expected, or the way that the Sheldon Huskies wanted. But, you know, it is what it is. We turn the corner to a new chapter as he's getting the chance to suitor some colleges. And so that's going to be a great process once again for the Boyd family. And we'll keep you guys posted as to where Deshaun decides to play next year for his college football.
Awesome. Well, I know he had a great time out there playing receiver, among other positions, for the Sheldon Huskies. And he's a great kid. So look for good things in the future from Deshaun Boyd.
Yeah, you know, I do too. I mean, this, you talk about somebody that has a broad scope as far as football positions are concerned. You know, he played receiver. They had him at defensive end at one point. Can you believe that? And, you know, of course, that, you know, linebacker and DB. So, you know, for all the coaches out there that are looking for an athlete, that is what he is, man. So there's not one position that he's locked into. He'd be considered an athlete, which is always a plus, you know, when you're looking to play at the next level, because they can plug you in anywhere.
Well, we need to wake Don Newsom up there in paradise. He's probably out there looking for tornadoes, a tornado watcher.
Man, well, it's definitely been a great show, and we had two awesome guests, Sean Wally. Our first guest, Anthony Ant Atkinson of the Harlem Globetrotters, Mr. Showman himself, you know, blessing us with his presence here on the Double, and it was an awesome first guest. And guest number two, Darryl Brown, Major League Baseball scout of the Toronto Blue Jays. Man, Sean Wally, the time just goes by so quickly here on the Double.
Time flies when you're having fun. Absolutely. Big time thank you to Anthony Atkinson and Darryl Brown for joining us here tonight.
Man, so, you know, it's that time for me, man. I don't know about you. As we have talked about tornadoes and bad weather and everything, I've got to see if, you know, certain portions of my house are still intact.
So, I'm guessing you're going to sleep with one eye open tonight.
Man, the thunder and lightning out here is so brilliant, man. It's a lot different than the Pacific Northwest. I mean, when it thunders and lightnings out here, it's an amazing spectacle. I mean, you know, the lightning pops every 2 seconds. It's not like you'll see a flash and then maybe a minute later you'll see another flash. I mean, it's happening quick. It looks like the 4th of July all over again. So, you know,
just don't. Do not be out there with a kite and a key. That's all I got to say.
Nothing metal in my hand. No way. I'm not even going outside, man. I'm just going to warm, you know, put myself around the fireplace and call it good.
Well, hey, I'm off to Pasco for some Hawaiian barbecue pork, so I'm out of here.
Awesome stuff, man. So, man, this is what? Show number 100 and what?
28, I believe.
Man, show number 128 here on the Double. Always an exciting time to have our listeners listen to on the Double. We appreciate you week in and week out. If you want to catch our archives, you can go to www.bbsradio.com/DSX. Or you can catch us live here on that same website every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Like we always say here on The Double, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. And when you take that shot, we hope it is nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally up in the Pacific Northwest, Don Newsom in Paradise, California. Yours truly, looking for Dorothy and Toto in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.